fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn. It's time for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Here's your host, Chris Williams, alongside Brent Bloom and Jared Stansberry.
Well, one for three on that. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we are here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, as we are every Thursday. Well, basically, since August, sans the Christmas holiday. We weren't here over that time, but it's good to be back. We've got some cheese balls in front of us, ready to go, talk some Iowa State basketball. Now, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. It'll be the same show that you know and love. However, we've got longtime friend and contributor to Cyclone Fanatic, Kirk Holland, here. So I want to utilize Kirk and pick his brain about some specific things that he's strong on. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, how you doing?
Phenomenal.
I'm glad I'm strong on something. It's good to know.
Yeah, you're really good with the numbers, stat guy.
Oh, yeah, shut up.
Adam Gray's here as well. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Adam.
Is Kirk kind of turning into a Bloom a little bit? We hadn't heard from him in quite a while. Iowa State wins four games in a row, and here comes Kirk out of retirement.
I'm out of the bullpen a little bit. Been a little busy coaching basketball,
what, you
soccer,
only have three kids.
Struggling to dance. I have a real job. So,
is that a shot at us?
Yeah, what the hell is that supposed to mean, Kirk?
No. You guys have real jobs, too. It just so happens this is your real job.
No, it's all good. I understand. We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Good night of sports. There's a lot of good games on tonight. Come on out and get yourself a burger or a pizza or just come say hi to us as we are on here, 1460 KXNO. until 7 o'clock. Before we get in, so I want to, Kirk, I appreciate your work more now than I did 3 years ago, meaning the understanding of analytics, I think, has come a long way in the mainstream. And I want to talk to you today about some misconceptions and whatnot about stats when it comes to analyzing basketball. And later on in the program, I think we'll touch on Iowa State. If you want opinions on the Cyclones, we have like 10 other podcasts a week that you can go into our iTunes feed to get. And that's Cyclone Fanatic, of course. But, Kirk, it's funny because KenPom almost in a way has become trendy in the sense that I hear people reference KenPom quite often, and I don't think that they know what they're actually talking about.
Absolutely.
Why are you staring at me right now, Kirk?
I got to pick one of you two.
Where do you see that at the most, though? Because is it my guess is that you're going to say when people are pointing at the KenPom rankings, they don't really know what that means.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Because, KenPom's rankings, it doesn't mean that he thinks that, like, Iowa State's 24th, that he necessarily thinks that they would beat number 19.
Yeah, it kind of depends.
What is the specifics? Like, how do those rankings come about? Because
So go back to the first part. Like, the problem I have, I struggle with, is I complain about people that use the wrong stats, like rebounding margin.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. The rundown here.
And then I complain about the people that use the right stats, but they use them in the wrong way because they don't understand. But and I don't want to prop myself up like I'm.
Yeah, you should.
I'm KenPom Junior.
Don't you worry about it.
His rankings. So he looks at offensive and defensive efficiency, and all that is points per possession multiplied out by 100 for 100 possessions. And
that
so,
drives me more nuts in football when people do that.
When they do it,
when people
points
per
game instead of points per
possession. Points per game and yards per game.
Yards
really.
Per game in football is like
the
dumbest.
That. It's the it, that I mean that's like the biggest statistical pet peeve in the world for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's a terrible one. So he's just measuring points per possession. That's it. Like how many points did you score? How many possessions were there? Multiplied out by 100, and then he goes through an adjustment process for strength of schedule and if the game was played home and away. So he does that for your offense. He does that for your defense. This year he switched. He used to use those through the Pythagorean theorem, which essentially gave you your expected win percentage if you played a neutral schedule. So this year he switched it to, instead of doing the Pythagorean theorem with those two numbers, he just takes the margin. So if you have a really good offense and a really good defense, that margin gets bigger. So I think Gonzaga right now is number one, and they're like plus 34. Iowa State, I think, is like plus 21. So
now you wrote about this in your piece that's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, so what those numbers are saying is if Iowa State played an average team on a neutral court, his system would predict they would win by 21.
Iowa State.
And when you say average,
if it's Gonzaga, would be 34. So everyone is measured by how they would perform against an average team.
And when you say average, there's what, 360 teams?
351.
351. So you're saying 175th team, if Iowa State was to play them according to Iowa State by 21.
And the average in this case is actually, I don't know what it's at this year. I think the average points per possession right now is like 1.04, 1.05, right in there. So it would be if you played an average team, so if they were 1.04 on offense and defense.
Okay.
Is kind of how that goes. So then he ranks the teams based off that margin. And I think kind of the funny thing you get with the rankings is sometimes you can have like a really good performance. You think you're going to shoot up the rankings, but your gap in that margin is really big to the next place team. Or some other teams perform really well too and leapfrog you. So not everything is happening in a vacuum. So that can affect how the actual numeral ranking plays out.
What drives you the most crazy when you hear some guy talking about KenPom?
I don't know if I have a specific thing.
Come on, Kirk.
The one thing that I think gets lost in the shuffle is that the scoring metrics for points per possession are adjusted for competition, but nothing else is. So if a team has we ran into this last year like against Iona. They have like, I don't even remember what it would have been, but you can play in a small conference and be like top 10 in offensive rebounding percentage. Well, you haven't really played a schedule that would really challenge you to see how good of a rebounding team you really are. There's stuff like that. But
for their offensive efficiency, does that take it into place at all or no?
All the offensive efficiency is scoring.
So
a team that gets more offensive rebounds is more likely to score more. and do it in fewer possessions.
So a team in the Sun Belt could be the most efficient team, but they're playing typically against worse competition.
They're playing against worse competition. It's like Gonzaga right now. I mean, they're not. Their schedule is really weak.
Well, they had to play Iowa State.
But yeah, their non-conference wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But their conference schedule's terrible for strength. And to get to where they are, they basically just have to pummel really bad teams. And that's the one thing with KenPom I always kind of question is those teams that are consistently playing really low-level teams and they're beating them by, like, 50. Like, I wonder if it accounts for that well enough. But there's really no way to measure it.
Sure.
What's the best metric for, like, if you're on the NCAA tournament committee, is KenPom the best way to go? Is it the BPI? We hate the RPI, and we'll get to that here quickly. What's the best metric to use?
I'm a believer that the NCAA tournament needs to be picked on achievement. So you need to do it based off of resume. KenPom isn't a great resume tool because you could lose it. Hypothetically, you could play 30 games against the 30 toughest teams, lose every game by one, and on KenPom, you'd have a pretty solid ranking.
And that's what we saw early on with Iowa State, too.
They've been ranked fairly high. They've been in, I don't know what that was for, but they're in the top 30 all year, and they've, even when they had four or five losses, until Virginia started losing, we were the team that was like in the...
Yeah,
the highest ranked, high loss team.
Yeah, and you also saw that there's a couple teams this year that have stood out to me as teams that KenPom just loves. Oklahoma State was one of them.
Yeah,
they were like 0-5 in the Big 12, but still like ranked in the top 40.
And a lot of that was Oklahoma State when they started off 0-5 or 0-6 or whatever. They're playing pretty good teams. So when you're playing a really good team, you're losing close games. You're not going to drop that far. But their non-conference games, when they've won, like, they've just obliterated people. So it uses margin of victory. Not really margin. It uses game margin.
Well, the Clones beat Citadel by, like, 70.
Yeah, there's kind of a cap on it, too, I think, for the
What was the deal? Wasn't there a deal, like, one of the original BCSs where
the margin of victory
like, up to a certain point, and then it cut off?
To be honest, it kind of has to be if you're trying to find the best team, because if you beat a team by 10 compared to beating them by 30, like, that should be worth something. But you get into the whole world of running up the score and PC stuff, and people frown upon.
I think we're past the point where running up the score is frowned upon. Like, I think everybody understands what's at stake these days.
Yeah,
unless it's like
really
Alabama.
Yeah, I was gonna say we haven't seen it in a long time.
Well, my point is, like, if in football it's a different deal than basketball, obviously. But if like Tennessee Tech is at Alabama, I think people would get pissed off if Nick Saban's running up the score.
Right.
But if if Tennessee's at Alabama, is anybody really gonna fault Saban if he can run up and beat him by 30? I'm not.
It all just kind of depends on how it unfolds, too. I mean, if you just keep scoring, it's one thing, but it's like if the other team puts the reserves in and then you still have your starters out there, it just looks stupid.
Okay, now let's bash on the RPI, because this is still used all the time. I mean, if you watch college basketball this weekend, you're going to see graphs pop up about the RPI. You hate the RPI. Why do you hate the RPI?
Well, RPI is supposed to be like a resume tool. 25% of the weight of your RPI is your own record, and there's a multiplier in there for if you win at home, wins are worth 0.6. If you lose at home, it's worth 1.4. If and it's vice versa on the road, so that's 25% of the way just your record and multiplied out by
that's
those numbers.
That's not bad. I don't mind that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah,
but
where does it get shady?
So 50% of the weight is on your opponent's win-loss record. That does not include anything with the multipliers, and 25% of the weight is on your opponent's win-loss record. So one of the main problems is 75% of it is based on strength of schedule. The other problem is that it's based on wins and losses. So
a team like Gonzaga would have a hard time.
A little bit, yeah. So the way people always talk about gaming the RPI is you would – be playing low-level conference teams in the non-conference, like low conference teams, that's going to go on to win a bunch of games, and it's going to boost your RPI. So it's just not the best way to measure anything. And the other problem with RPI, as it gets used by the committee, is it's like they use arbitrary cutoffs of top 25, top 50.
And that's what I hate about the college football playoff.
And when they use those, there's no consideration for home and away.
Remember when they were doing that with Iowa 2 years ago when Iowa was 12-0? in the college football playoff deal, and they're like, oh, well, we got that top 25 win, and it was like Wisconsin, and it was sitting right on 25-26 the whole year.
Yeah, and it's dumb. It's
like that team, it should be a quality win either way. Like,
yeah, and there needs to be more of kind of a sliding scale and use the arbitrary cutoffs, and it just
– My theory, Gray
everything.
Just looked this up for us. Gonzaga is 7 in the RPI. They're 1 in KenPom.
Yeah, so you have to look at their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not a huge difference, but it does knock them a little bit. So what would
for an undefeated team, though, I would call that a significant difference.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. So,
but their non-con, I think, was really
They played
Arizona.
Nice, yeah.
Now, RPI is obviously it's a dumbed down version, right, of what KenPom and some of these other places are. Would you
No. It's the RPI is purely looking at wins and losses.
Okay.
KenPom doesn't even directly take wins and losses into account.
So. I agree with Williams that 25% of how you first broke it down as far as Iowa State's record, and then you get 0.6 for home versus 1.4 for road wins. Would it be better if they took that 25% and bumped it up to 50? Or bumped it up a percentage and took some away?
The overall rating.
Do you think then it would be better?
It'd be a little bit better. The problem is that how they evaluate your strength of schedule is purely based off wins and losses. It was to go back to dog on Iowa on this, but with their 12-0 season in football, and everyone's like, oh, they're playing the schedule in front of them, and
they're
12-0.
You guys went on Murph and Andy and caught all sorts of hell.
Yeah, they're 12-0. It doesn't matter. They're beating everybody. It's like, well, if they played the 12 worst teams in the country, it's clearly different than if they'd beat the 12 best teams in the country. So the whole thing with it being solely based off wins and losses, I think, is probably the worst part.
Okay. Sorry,
in my opinion.
Yeah, we were just given a second plate of cheese balls by accident.
Which I do not need. I don't need the first bag, let alone the second one.
Well, that's the great people here at Benchwarmers. They aim to please you when you come on a Thursday night with the Cyclone Fanatic radio show. We have Kirk Holland in with us today. Adam Gray's with me. Brent Bloom is off on some sort of business, he claims. We never really know where Bloom is when he misses the program, but that's okay.
I was told he was at a Hollywood Higgins party. That's what I was told.
So I thought of this way too late, but when Bloom got married, like, I thought of it like 3 days before he got married, so I couldn't pull it off. But I wanted to, and I have the means to do this, to get Hollywood Higgins to give Bloom a birthday message. Or not birthday, but a wedding message to play at the reception. But I couldn't pull it off in that amount of time.
Someday, like when Bloom turns 40,
guys,
someone's going to knock on the door. He's going to go answer it, and John Higgins is going to be standing there in zebra striped Speedo singing happy birthday.
He'll cry.
Have you watched a game with Bloom ever, Kirk?
I actually don't think so.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you have either. Gray, how many games have you watched with Bloom?
Oh,
like
a handful.
So
I was down at the Big 12 tournament with him last year.
Bloom, I love him, man. He's like my brother. He was in the air. He called the women's game at West Virginia the day the Clones beat Kansas a couple weeks ago. Bloom lands, sees the score, and he's all jacked up. And he calls me. He's like, did you tape it? I'm like, the Bears grab in the woods? I tape every game. So Bloom comes over. And, like, I'm thinking he's, like, super excited to watch the game, right? Because it's one of the biggest wins in program history, arguably. When you win in Lawrence, it's a really massive deal. And, you know, and we're sitting there watching the game, and it's fun, and we're having some beers. And Bloom's, like, standing up, like, doing, like, charging calls and, like, the good form of traveling. And it's just, like, a whole different way that he and his family watch these basketball games. It's incredible. He's watching the referees more than he is the game.
I mean...
Good for him.
I don't have anything.
We all have our
that.
Thing. I mean,
nothing
NASCAR
good.
Is on right now. I like NASCAR. You guys don't. Like,
no,
it's a,
like
everybody's
NASCAR.
Got our ticks. All right, anyways.
I look at box scores during the game.
So the RPI is garbage. What should they – I like the BPI. What do you think about the BPI?
I don't even look at the BPI.
Why do you not look at the BPI for?
I just don't think to look there.
You should look at it. It's better.
I know a few years ago I looked at it, and it's kind of just like they didn't – it wasn't very transparent. The only thing that's not transparent I'm immediately kind of turned off to because I want to know, like,
the
inputs
it
to it.
Here, I'll tell
the
you.
The one that I kind of like as far as the resume evaluator that I haven't looked at enough is the KPI.
What in the world is the KPI?
I've never heard of the KPI.
It's one of the managers at Michigan State who's now, like, an associate AD started it. He's the one that does, like, the manager rankings. I don't know if you've seen that. Maybe not.
So, manager.
The manager games. You know all those manager games are going? He has rankings and all that stuff for that. So the KPI is essentially, each team has a value.
Okay.
And whether it's all adjusted for home and away. And then if you win, it's a value that's multiplied out between 0 and 1. If you lose, it's from 0 to negative 1. So you somewhere in there kind of get a mathematical way of arriving at the best resume.
So what – oh, man. Again, if you are on the NCAA tournament committee, I understand, like, you've got – so you're saying, like, and this surprises me because you're not a big subjective guy.
Right.
Like, you're not an eye test guy. You're very anti-eye test.
Just for something like this, yeah.
Okay, so what do you use? Do you just combine all this stuff? Do you look at RPI? Do you look at KenPom? Like, what's the best way to do this?
KenPom isn't, because it's not a matter of achievement. You're not looking at the best resumes. You're just looking for the best team. I mean, honestly, you just kind of have to go through the resumes. I bet the AP poll is probably – I mean, there's some whack job AP poll voters.
It's so much better than the coaches poll, though.
We talk about this every year.
The coaches poll is just garbage.
It's trash.
It's even worse than football. I think it's a lot better in basketball. Way worse than football.
I don't even remember when I ever looked at the coaches poll.
Oh, it's so terrible.
But the AP poll is probably – as far as ranking resumes is on the whole is probably
– wow. That surprises me, Kirk, that's your answer. I like it.
I like being
surprised. This is good.
I don't think there's any really one solid way. I think the RPI would be okay if they made some adjustments, and if they didn't.
Why don't they?
They kind of are now, right? Because they had that little conference with all the smart basketball people showing up to give them other metrics. And I mean, I've seen some people theorize that you should do the teams get into the tournament based off achievement, but then you seed them based off something like KenPom, where it's more of an evaluation of how good you think they are, which I would kind of agree with, because think of a couple years ago in Wichita State's number one seed, they're undefeated, and they draw Kentucky in the 8-9 game.
Oh, man.
You know, just because Kentucky lost a bunch of games, so their resume is kind of ho-hum, but everyone knew they were like a 2-3 seed quality.
That's good stuff. I wanted to pick your brain on this stuff more, just because, just the way we talk about sports, you know, on our shows. I mean,
right.
We want it to be as intelligent and as informed as possible. Oh, another thing I wanted to hit you on is your the overuse of the rebounding margin statistic. I've tried to explain this to people before, and the problem is I'm guilty of using it sometimes too, because you're just so used to it.
And it's convenient.
Yeah, because you can just look there. You don't have to do any addition.
All you have to do is subtract, and there you are.
So tell people, why is it a stupid thing to use?
Well, anytime there's a shot, which team is at the advantage to get the rebound?
The defense is at the advantage.
The defense.
So the problem with rebounding margin is there's not the same number of shots that are missed by each team. If you have a team that misses 20 shots and the other team misses 5, there's automatically going to be a separation there that's not really related on good rebounding or bad rebounding. It's maybe because one team had a bunch of turnovers, or one team got fouled a bunch and they made their free throws. I mean, there's a lot of other variables that go into it other than how many rebounds did you get. And that's basically it. I mean, I get it. And I think a lot of it, and I've talked about this before, is like rebounding percentage is really the way to measure it as best as you possibly can. But the problem with that is, Adam Gray, what's a good offensive rebounding percentage?
No clue. It's 10.2.
No, like average is like 30 is kind of right around the barometer. If you keep under teams under 30, you did pretty good.
I read in your piece that's coming up tomorrow at Cyclone Fanatic, Baylor was 40
game. Yeah. So the thing with rebounding margin, and the article I wrote tomorrow that you guys will see tomorrow talks about this, is between offensive rebounding and turnovers, the thing you have to do is that's all a wash. Iowa State's obviously, I mean, we just know they're going to get crushed most of the time on rebounding. So with the way they've forced turnovers this year and taking care of the ball, they've kind of evened it out.
Yeah.
And imagine
how good they'd be, though, if they could bridge the gap.
If they were a little bit better defensive rebounding team, or maybe punted a little less offensive rebounding.
Have you done the math on the Solomon Young factor since he's really started playing increased minutes?
Just on rebounding alone?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just curious if that offensive rebounding possession or the percentage from the opposition has gone down since Solomon's playing more minutes.
I would feel fairly comfortably in the last, five games since he's been playing a bunch, that it's spiked noticeably.
I did think it was interesting, and this is kind of moving on, but Adam, I told you this morning on the podcast that I was going to do a little research on the free throws. they are significantly up. They're on the season, I think Iowa State's average is 16.9 free throws per game. The last three alone, they're up at like 24
so
per
so,
game.
I've so seen he, talk of this.
I want to see if you're going to say the same
Adam,
thing.
Adam made a great point because you get fouled at the end
I'm
of the game.
I'm assuming it's because we've won five of the last six and we're getting fouled. And a lot of these we've been getting fouled a lot.
But I would love to dig deep on that, though, because I think that they're being more aggressive. I do think that there's more in play as well.
There's maybe a little bit, but Deontay. I don't think there's a ton.
Not necessarily last game, but the games prior.
Yeah, you could go through the play-by-play. And
I might do that tomorrow.
And take out, like, the last 4 minutes worth of possessions.
The last media timeout of all of them.
Yeah, the other thing with the free throw percentage, everyone talks about how it's getting so much better. It's like, well, yeah, Daryl Bowie and Merle Holden are hardly shooting free throws. And the first 16 games of the year, Bowie was the only one shooting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course this is going poorly.
It's another fine point right there, Yeah, you don't want those guys at the line. All right, Kirk Collin is in with us here. Cyclone Fanatic Radio on 1460 KXNO. Do you have any other pet peeves, anything you want to get through? Because if not, I'm going to whip up a battle royale between you and Gray, and I'm going to let you guys duke it out.
I don't know,
the next
Gray,
thing.
Do you want to talk about defensive three-point percentage?
Oh, yeah, let's hear that. We're going to do a Cyclone Fanatic battle royale between Adam Gray and Kirk Collin. It will happen next here on 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor, generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue? Sure. Buffalo? Of course. But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk to go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill? Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters. Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio here. We're at Bench Warmers, as we are every Thursday from 6 to 7. We only have a couple shows left, right?
I think just one.
Oh, next week's
really?
The last show, yeah. Because
we're down to Big 12.
Because then it's the Big 12 tournament, and then it's the NCAA tournament.
Don't you know what I do want to have in between tournaments, though?
Well, we'll do podcasts. Fine.
Yeah, I mean,
fine.
Kirk,
fine.
Like, I can only be in one place at a time. If I'm in Salt Lake City, I can't be at Benchwarmers in Ankeny.
I think you need to try harder. You're not mentally tough enough.
There's a lot of truth to that. Kirk Collins in here with us. We have a Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. Kirk, you were just saying that you're undefeated in the Battle Royale. Is that accurate?
I'm just assuming. I think you always feel bad for me.
Why would I feel bad for you? Look, I got your beautiful wife over there, pretty little girls. Why would I feel bad for you?
Well, you know, you just don't want me to lose every time I come on the radio.
I don't feel bad for you at all.
I think you actually, it's not that you feel bad for me, it's probably you get more joy out of watching Brent or Adam lose.
Yeah, there's actually probably some truth to that. I do love those guys, but I mean, it's fun watching you guys squirm, too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Brent Bloom is somewhere tonight. We don't know where he went. He's out on his real job, and he's working hard. Hopefully he's making some money. It's time for the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. We'll start with you, Kirk. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a coach is Scott Drew right now?
I mean, the whole picture overall?
Yeah, overall. How good of a coach is he?
I'd say he's about a 7 or an 8 up in there.
Don't ride the fence. You got to pick one.
7.5.
Okay, that's fair. Why?
I think he gets lots of crap for the timeout thing and all sorts of other stuff. But, I mean, in the end, the last 10 years, they've been perennially a top 25 team almost and made a couple of Elite Eight runs, even though the upsets broke their way to play some easier teams. He's always got talent funneling in there. And really, if you look at him this year, I mean, he's got Jonathan Motley. And other than that, who else?
Dude, I thought they would be like fifth in the league.
I mean,
and they could end up there, I guess. Still.
And I'm one that would say that the Baylor's resume isn't as good as we thought it was at the beginning of the year, because of how their games broke out, how some teams aren't as good as we thought. Dylan Brooks was hurt.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
yeah.
I think he's a better coach than most give him credit for. Big picture.
So you're giving him a 7.5.
Russian Judge gives 7.5.
Gray, on a scale of 1 to 10. Here in the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale, how good of a coach is Scott Drew?
So I'll break it down into three categories, and then I'll divide that by three.
Yeah, you can do that.
33% weight.
Yeah,
you've got to come down to one. And now we have Kirk here to catch your math.
We need a composite number.
I'm glad Kirk is here for this. So as a recruiter, he's a 9. Because you got to look at the big picture.
Coaching, you
got to be able to bring in players.
Yeah, he's as close to a 10 as you can get with getting those guys to Waco.
To Waco, especially after what he came into there.
I mean,
Waco.
And you now Cal Perry's a 10.
Yes, Calipari a 10.
Yeah.
Coach K was probably a 10, although he kind of goes in little streaks. But for the most part,
I think Coach K has always had a built-in advantage, and that's fine. He uses it to his advantage because of the Duke thing. I mean, you if there's like a smart blue chipper, he's going to Duke.
Has Baylor had that many 5-stars in the last 3 or 4 years?
Not
really.
Not as much as they had.
Drew should almost get more credit for.
Drew's always plucking a Pierre Jackson or a Kenny Cherry, you know,
right,
like guys like that
years,
who
exactly.
really put them over the top.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to let me finish
okay,
my answer?
No, but it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, okay.
We're having a conversation here.
So for that, he's a 9. For an actual in-game coach, I think he's probably a 7. And for a developer of talent, I think he's a 5. And the reason I say he's a 5 is
whoa,
you look at the Isaiah Austins. You look at.
He never got better.
Who's the
well, I mean,
Perry
the guy
Jones
only
the third?
Had one eye.
Or is it Perry?
Jeez, come on, Chris.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, you're going to kill Drew for that?
He was a 7-1 guy that moved like a guard and looked, I mean.
He never seemed to really find a spot.
He didn't find a spot.
How many years did he play?
Three, I think.
Did he play three?
There's never one thing he was great at.
No. Was Perry Jones a third?
Yeah, Perry.
He went pro after a year. He didn't have a chance to develop.
No, he was there for 2 years.
Okay, 2 years.
And he never developed. And he went from being like a top 5 pick to get drafted in the 25th and now just isn't. Great in the NBA.
He shouldn't have gone pro. That's not Scott Drew's fault.
Go
ahead. Finish your point.
So you take all three of those, divide it by three, he's a 7 as a coach.
Kirk gets the point. 7.5.
Most predictable thing of the
day. That's the perfect number right there. But he is an elite recruiter.
He is, I'll give
you that.
And, you know, he is a better coach than I used to give him credit for.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he's gotten better. And that's, you know, people like to hang on to how coaches were, you know, a couple years, but coaches, just like players, can get better.
And he's also kind of found his niche with that defense because I don't think he's ran that 2-3 defense that he's been running. He's been running it for, what, 5-6 years, but I don't think he ran that like he has now at the beginning. And he gets the right guys to fill into it, and it works.
Good stuff. Let's move on. Now, it's funny. It was even after the Texas Tech game. Kirk, I know you like to stay up and listen to John and Eric in the post game. Did you hear Montez?
Have a pleasant good evening.
Have a very pleasant evening. Good night. The Monte Morris comment, Eric asked him to look ahead to Baylor. He's like, man, you know, Scott Drew, he's always calling them crazy timeouts at the seven-minute mark, but we ready this time, man.
Well, I think that's happened twice, basically. And it's still one of those things where, yeah, especially 2015, right, that timeout he called, and then everything just went haywire down the stretch. Like, I really don't think Scott Drew's timeout had any influence on Baylor making six threes in a row in that game. I mean, that's just me, though.
Well, Monte's point the other night was that they weren't ever ready for it, whatever the hell that means. That's not even the question. The point is that when you get on Cyclone Twitter and a Baylor game's on, what are people talking about?
Scott Drew's took a timeout slip.
And what was the joke with TCU on Saturday when Jamie Dixon uses three timeouts in the first half?
Scott Drew guy now.
Whatever.
I made that joke, guys. I don't really appreciate you making fun of me.
My point is,
I think that you could also now say Steve Prohm takes some really weird timeouts.
Oh, he definitely does.
You've made fun of Scott Drew's timeouts more than anybody.
How?
Oh, let's go back 2 years. Let's pull up Twitter right now. You used to make fun of him on Twitter.
I don't
all
have time in the middle of a live radio show.
I'm just saying, you can't
Twitter.
Be making fun of other people for making
2 years ago was kind of slightly more original.
Oh.
Correct. Time evolves, Adam.
People are trying to get on your level.
Time just doesn't stand still, unfortunately. Right. My point is that Steve Prohm has an unconventional way of taking timeouts.
Yeah.
Similar to Scott Drew. Not in the style that they use it, but I think you could objectively sit here and look at how Steve calls timeouts. Like, they'll make a basket and bam, he call, like, and you could go, that's really unconventional way of doing it. Sometimes it works, oftentimes it doesn't. My point is, what Kirk or Gray, you get to go first. Overall, do you like Steve Prohm's use of timeouts, yay or nay?
Don't mind him on the road, hate him in Hilton. Absolutely hate him in Hilton. When Iowa State scores a bucket, you let that crowd go. And I just don't understand. I know, I think he's been on record as saying he likes calling him after a made basket because
yeah, I've heard that. He's never told me that, but I've seen that. Yeah,
I think Hines put that out that they like coming into. He likes them coming into the huddle feeling quote unquote good
with some confidence.
Yeah,
but I absolutely hate it. I think you let Hilton go. You just let the crowd go and pick the players up on defense, and you get a timeout at a different time. So, Rowe, don't have a problem with it. At home, hate it.
I don't hate it. There's times when I hate it. When you feel like if it's the second basket of a 4-0 run, it's like that's when you've really got to let it go. There's times when I think it's a good thing when it seems like I've noticed a couple defensive lapses and it's clear that he wants
that's
to change
point,
something
yeah.
up. I don't think that's always the case, or if it is, I mean, not like I'm the one that notices all that stuff. But
was it last game? He was quick to call a timeout because he knew he had to get Monte back in right away.
And yeah,
like those
he
times
used
I like
he
it.
Used two like right away. I think with right around under four. It seems like we use all our timeouts with a little bit of time left. But it's definitely unorthox.
And it's completely different from what Fred used to do. Fred used to never call timeouts.
Oh, those things are gold.
Fred would go to bed at night with three timeouts.
Take
his
timeouts
pocket.
Home with him, yeah.
I mean, jeez. It's fascinating to me because I'm kind of a coach geek. In basketball, I love coaches and following coaches. And I have a dream of mine to write a book about college basketball coaches. I don't think anybody would read it, but I'd want to write it.
I would read it, Chris.
Thanks, Kirk. And it's funny.
Is there an audio version?
I want a movie.
I don't really read.
God, you don't want the audio version.
Well, you don't have to read it.
Well, it'd put you to sleep on your way up I-35. My point is, though, that I think that like we're all starting to pick up on Prohm's trends when it comes to in-game coaching. Where last year we're kind of like, well, what the hell is he doing? Well, now it's kind of like, no, this is kind of his thing. It's like the Scott Drew timeout at 7 minutes, we're kind of starting to learn what Steve's all about, and you know it's just kind of his style.
To me, big picture, coaches' timeout usage to me is a lot like football play calling. Like everyone judges it after the fact based off what happens next, and it's not like it's really a great predictor.
The timeout doesn't
beforehand
single-handedly dictate that the team's going to go on a 9-0 run.
No, I mean, there's some times where it's kind of like end of the game, you need one if things are frazzled or something like that. But some coaches use them religiously and some don't when it's that situation.
Just for the sake of the game, I think Kirk had a better argument, but I'll give Adam the point. Because we only have three questions here. And
at least I won't hurt my KenPom rating that much, even if I fall.
You should do a Cyclone commentator. This includes message board posters. KenPom ratings. That'd be a great column.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine the page views that thing would get.
You just put everybody on it. So
who's your favorite? Okay, here's your. Here's. I just came up with four questions.
I'm going to preemptively stop this because my message board reading the last 2 years has been.
I just came up with two more questions. Who's your favorite Cyclone Fanatic message board poster, Kirk?
I mean, like me. I literally.
That's a good answer, Adam. What about you?
He stole my answer.
No. You're going to say me?
No, I was going to say me. No, I'm kidding. I'll probably go Jay Burke.
Kirk wins. Kirk's up 2-1. Who's your least favorite message board poster, Kirk?
I mean, me? I literally do not hardly.
You? Adam?
My least
favorite? Yeah, least favorite poster.
I'm not doing that.
You don't want to alienate.
Yeah, I don't want to alienate the
family. If you say Jay Burke, I'll let you give a point.
The point isn't worth it to me.
It's 2-2 going into question number 5. And this is very broad, but I want some specifics here, Kirk. Where does this team end up? Get very specific. Where do they end up in the Big 12 tournament as far as seedings go? How far do they go? Where do they end up in March? How far do they go? Go.
I think we'll finish 11-7, though Tuesday.
You got them losing 2 of 3?
It'd be 12-6. Yeah. We'll win out at home, but Tuesday scares the daylights out of me.
Me too. Just the same way.
I thought Oklahoma State's been good all year, and they're scary for that reason. But everyone has senior day from last year stuck in their head.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think it'll be quite like that. Senior day last year, the first half, I swear everyone else thought only George should shoot like for the first half. And everything was broken, and it didn't work, and it was 58 points, and it was a mess. So it scares me, but I think they'll probably play a little bit better. And Oklahoma State's been good, and they're still good. But I think people are slightly overrating them based off their last 6 or 7 games.
Adam and I had this conversation on whatever podcast we did. We do like 10 a week. That they've been beating the teams that they should.
More or less. I mean, basically, they're this stretch that they're playing really well. They won at West Virginia.
And every other game
is basically like, they probably should beat them.
And we talked about it, too, when they started 0-6. Well, that's the hardest first six games you could completely draw up in the Big 12.
And they barely beat Oklahoma. I mean, they needed a miracle to win in Norman. I mean,
at home, they were down, what, 15?
At home, they needed a different kind of miracle, yeah. So, I mean, it'll be a tough game, don't get me wrong, and I could easily see us losing it, but I think they're slightly overrated with the last stretch. So I've got 12-6.
What seed?
That'll put us at a 3 seed as long as West Virginia beats Baylor, I believe.
Okay.
So if we're a 3, then
game. I hate that 8:30 game
against
City.
So then we're a 3, and we probably get TCU.
Okay, well, I'll take
Kansas
that.
State, right?
It depends, I'm sure. I haven't looked. Recently, K-State is tumbling.
What's worse than the 8:30 game?
It's the afternoon game when I'm at my real job.
Never mind.
So I think then say we get TCU or K-State, I think we'd win that. And then West Virginia, I mean, I don't know. Well,
you got to make a pick.
I would
quit riding the fence.
Make a pick.
Get some predictions.
I'll take us to win that one, assuming we lose in Morgantown. And then we'll drop the final to Kansas. So that I think that resume should put us at a 6 seed. Possibly
6 seed in the tournament.
Possibly a 5.
Losing in the title game of the Big 12 tournament, 6 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
Do they get to the second weekend?
I hope so, yeah.
Can
I wait until the bracket comes out before I make it?
This is Sports Talk Radio, Kirk. We all just have diarrhea of the mouth all the time. It's what we do.
You do.
All right, Adam, go.
This is how it's done, Kirk.
Adam's
okay.
This is how you spout off without knowing.
Step aside, Kirk. I got this.
Here comes the BS.
So Iowa State's going to win this weekend against Baylor. They're going to end the 5-game streak. They're going to beat Oklahoma State. We've talked about this a lot. I like Monte against Evans. I think elite point guards bring out the best in Monte. It's kind of got this chip on his shoulder.
I agree with that. That's a great take.
To prove that he's the best point guard in the Big 12. And if you look at last game he played out there, he had 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and almost defensively kind of shut Evans down. In the first half, Evans got in foul trouble right away.
Yeah.
So Iowa State wins that game. They're going to go to Morgantown. They're going to lose. They'll finish 12-6, like Kirk said. They'll be a 3 seed. I think they're going to play Kansas State, who they will beat. And then, unfortunately, I would like to say they're going to beat West Virginia so they don't lose 3 times to them, but I think they'll lose that game. They'll be a 6 seed in the tournament. They'll win 2, go to the Sweet 16, and then they will lose there.
Gray wins the Battle Royale tonight here.
Oh, look at that.
Cyclone Fanatic Radio. I love a guy who actually comes through with an opinion, Kirk.
I just like to see the bracket first. So.
Off the record, I agree with you.
Did you just admit to lying on the podcast? I revoke your win. Kirk wins. Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. Jeez. We're here at Benchwarmers.
I feel a little bit like I got second place and the first place guy was
kind of doping. We're going to do something that's unprecedented here.
Nobody wins. Chris is riding the fence.
You're both losers tonight. It's not even a tie. You both lose.
Do we get at least a participation ribbon?
No. You guys get nothing. We'll talk more Cyclones. I have a few football topics I want to touch on. We'll do that next here on 1460 KXNO.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job. Job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
You know we've got the wing and burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here, thick and chewy crust, absolutely loaded with an eye-popping,
and taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then, too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been
Thunderstruck. Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio. It's amateur hour. A couple guys is yelling into the microphones as we go back. It's all right, though.
I actually am a radio amateur, so I'm fine with that.
It's all right. We love it. Here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, a little Kirk Holland action. If you just joined the program and you want to hear Kirk's analysis on the analytics of college basketball.
The analytics of the analytics.
You should download our podcast. And not only should you do that, you should give us 5 stars because, I mean, what's a 5-star podcast if it's not us? Really. Anyways, that will be up. That will be up later tonight. Adam Gray's here as well. Tommy Birch reported earlier in the week that Kenne Nwangu tore his Achilles.
What do you think about that, Adam?
I wanted to ask you, Adam, because Tommy and I were debating, like, What's the standard like getting back for that full strength?
But let's be honest.
For Kenai Nwangu compared to you, you can't get it. But I'm saying like for a standard world class type athlete.
Can you imagine how great it would have been if you guys would have tore your Achilles at the same time? We could do like a reality show as you guys go through rehab together. As here's the world class athlete. Here's the world class dad.
I'm running a 40 right next to him. He gives me a 20 yard head start and still beats me. I actually did tear mine the same time as Kobe.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I'll never forget because, Gray was working for us, obviously, and he was going to, like, Ireland the next week.
4 days later, yeah.
Yeah, and he calls me. He's like, you were, like, on your way to the hospital when you called me or something.
No, I wasn't on the hospital. I was going to my sister-in-law.
You were pissed.
I was mad. Yeah, I was mad.
So, for real, though, like, Kenai Nwangu tears – we think he tore his Achilles. It's an Achilles injury is what we know.
Well, that's what I was kind of confused about because if it was torn – I think he would really struggle to be back early in the year. If it's just a partial tear or something like that, then
I don't
think
know if
fine.
It's partial or full, but it's an Achilles injury. It's a fairly significant one.
Yeah.
My question is, the good thing is he has a red shirt still.
Yes, he does.
But, man, I was really looking forward to see what they could do with him next year. I thought they were going to use him in that Percy Harvin type role where he is moving around a little bit. Of all the dudes on offense, he might have been the one I was most excited about to see where he was at from year one to year two.
Well, so, I mean, tearing an Achilles for a guy like me that does not have, you know, trainers working on it every day is completely different than him. But I would imagine, you know, what, he tore it in February. You have surgery. I don't think you can even put your foot on the ground for about 30 to 45 days. He'll be in a boot where he can't touch the ground. And then he'll go through physical therapy for a while. And he's a good enough athlete. The more I think about it, we're 6 months out from the football season. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe he could be there, but the problem is how much is he going
to
miss?
Why don't we get Greenwald or one of the boys from the McFarland Clinic?
Yeah, they'd probably be better to talk about than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Probably slightly better.
We should have got Doc Wormy on tonight, but any of the guys. Get them on next week.
That'd be a good one to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get one of the. But they can't talk about individual players. But we could just be like, hey, coach. If somebody tears their Achilles in the middle of February.
Hypothetically. Who's our number three running back right now, then?
So you've got, without Nwangu?
Right.
So you've got
Warren and Montgomery and
Crony?
Oh.
No, Crony's on defense now.
Okay.
Well.
I didn't mean to bring a halt to the show.
Mitch Harger's gone.
Hold on. Let me pull up my trusty scholarship chart at CycloneFanatic.com.
Joel Lanning.
Joel,
you're pretty much right.
Yeah. He's going to play everywhere next year. That'll be fascinating. The problem will be getting actual information on that. Like, it'll be like, oh, Lanny's going to line up as a punter. Like, you're going to hear everything by the time that it rolls around. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, our scholarship chart is dated right now. But, oh, you know who I bet it'll be? The Quam Minza kid.
Oh, it could be Quam Minza from Ames, local boy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only other guy I even know who plays running back because they didn't bring anybody in this year.
I'm still holding out. I bet you they bring in someone still for this next year.
Yeah. There's birdies chirping in the background about a grad transfer.
Look at you guys with the inside information. Insiders.
No. Just keep an eye on that. It'll be Joel Lanning or some guy who's not on the roster right now. That's who it's going to be. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to cover that. I was planning on writing the blog later on tonight about that as well, so look out for that tomorrow at CycloneFanatic.com. All right, I told Gray earlier today, 75% chance that Iowa State beats Baylor. I feel really good about this. I felt like I did when they went to Kansas State. I thought they would win that game. I felt great about the matchup. Don't feel great about the matchup here, but a couple of things, Kirk. One, these guys have lost five in a row to this team. I asked Monte Morris specifically about it today. I said, Monte, does it stick in your craw that these guys have won two games in a row at Hilton? And he had to pause to answer it because it bothers them that much.
He had to make sure he didn't cuss
They will be so focused and fired up in front of a Saturday afternoon crowd at Hilton Coliseum. This game does not worry me as much as Tuesday does. Do you agree with that analysis in general?
Yeah.
Even though it's a much worse matchup, we can all agree.
Yeah, and part of that, too, is losing to Baylor doesn't look as bad as losing to Oklahoma State. So it's a little more of a house money kind of situation. I mean, I think we can beat them. I mean, we had them down there. They helped us out a lot with how they refused to throw it to Motley on the block, and they were 3 of 17 from the three-point line. And we just got to make shots. If we make shots and turn their guards over like we can – and survive the offensive glass, I think we'll be fine. So, yeah, I think we'll win.
What a percentage?
Do you want, like, an exact score?
No, I want a percentage. I said there's a 75% chance. 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I 70, 80%. I like that range.
Wow. Wow. Okay, great.
I disagree with both of you. I think Baylor's a tougher game for Iowa State matchup-wise. I think it's a 65% chance of winning, Oklahoma State's 80%.
Do you think that Monte and Matt and those guys will all be crying before the game tips
That's
off?
If Oklahoma State wasn't on senior day, I would feel a
absolutely.
Lot different.
Absolutely. I'm the same way.
And that may have no factor on it. But
I agree with what Kirk said earlier where they were trying to get Niang the ball last year. Well, this year there's so many seniors, I don't think you can do that. Like, I think it's you got to play your normal game.
Last year it just seemed like everyone was deferring.
Yeah. And, like, Jamil played for a year and a half. Nader was for 2 years. But you got Naz, Matt, and Monte, who all have been here for 4 to 5 years. It's a lot different, right?
Right.
And they're all, I mean, every one of them are the fans love. So I don't think it's going to be, hey, we got to get Monte 20 shots this game. I don't think that at all. I think they'll be ready to play. I think the crowd will be crazy. I think Iowa State wins both games, but I feel a lot more confident about Oklahoma State than Baylor.
We're watching something fairly incredible, I think, in this Michigan State-Nebraska game. What kind of a run is Michigan State on against Nebraska right now? It's damn near a 20-point run they were just on, Adam, before the Nebraska just made that free throw. This game was like – did I look at the score wrong?
I swear
it was 28 to 28, and now it's 46 to 30.
Yeah, I think you're about right. I think it's about 18-2 run.
Michigan State's going to be the 12th seed that everybody's dying to play.
I'd love to play them. I'd love to play them.
They don't have very good guards.
Oh, and they just hit a half quarter at the buzzer.
Jeez.
Wow.
I don't think their guards are very good.
No, and Aaron Harris is out for the year now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're – I would
– Well, that one – one of the brackets – do you hate Lenardi? Is it your brother who hates Lenardi?
I heard Ross talking about it. That was my brother.
Why does he hate Lenardi? I feel like Lenardi's a lot better than Paul.
I don't think he hates Lenardi. I think he was commenting on one fan wondering about where Lenardi has –
Lenard dog.
And my brother basically was just saying, well, this is just like one guy.
Your brother can be kind of a jerk on Twitter.
He's less diplomatic.
I mean, I like your brother. He's my friend. And
relatively speaking, yeah.
Who's a bigger jerk on Twitter, him or Hines?
Oh, Ryan Hall. I love Hines on Twitter. Hines is playing a character on there.
But most people don't know it. Most people don't know he's
But I know Hines well enough that I know that he's just he tries to be like this stuck up, like, swarmy like that. He's doing this on purpose.
To be fair, Hines has to put up with a lot more grief, you know. Like,
oh God, tell me about it.
Ask him a question about something. I don't know. Would you click on the link to read the article? Hey, maybe someone wrote about
that's
that.
That's the most annoying thing ever as a writer. I can tell you when people judge. And Kirk, I know you've gone through this poo. When people judge your piece because they just read the headline and they don't read anything within it, that's the most obnoxious thing ever.
I had a thing in my time hop the other day of a Kansas fan screaming at me about how many free throws we shot against Texas 2 years ago and how Hilton is such a joke. The game where they literally fouled us every time for the last 10 minutes. And it was like, you didn't watch the game, did you? And then, yeah, Twitter shenanigans ensued.
Twitter's getting worse and worse by the day.
You're like the bitter old man about Twitter lately on the radio. But I don't really blame you.
I hate it now. Like, I used to love the medium, too. That's the problem. Like, I used to genuinely love getting on there, and I just don't anymore.
I hate seeing crap opinions.
I don't understand why fans argue with fans of other teams, because you're never going to sit there, you know what, Iowa fan?
It's
you are right. I agree with what you said. It's never going to happen.
Well, I don't even mind crap opinions. I actually like that aspect. That's one of the reasons I grew to love the medium. The problem I have is it's so nasty.
Okay, Haley, say hi. Okay, get out of here.
That's Kirk's little girl, Haley, sweetheart. The problem I have with it is, like, everybody just puffs up and they're so mean to each other. And it's like, if you were sitting here at a bar with this guy, you wouldn't say that
to
his face.
Right, yeah, it's the internet tough guy aspect.
That's the problem with it. I love all the idiot opinions.
Well,
what Gray's
talking about is, like, the Monte Morris-Frank Mason debate, like, huh, I wonder who's going to say that Monte Morris is better and who's going to say that Frank Mason is better.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a divide. And
man, it really gave me something to think about that you think I had the crotchety old man opinion on Twitter.
I don't care. I don't necessarily disagree with you that much.
I'm a disgruntled former stockholder.
You're the get-off-my-lawn Twitter user.
Yeah, that's me. Kirk, thanks for coming down tonight.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun. We had a really good time.
Millions of people.
I'm putting this in as a W for me, by the way.
No. You guys are both losers.
It
tonight.
Was a W.
Two losers.
It was
tonight.
Stricken from the record books. Trey.
Thanks to our
like
producer.
The Joe Paterno years.
Thanks to our producer Trey. We love Trey. I coming up tomorrow morning, the morning rush at 6. Guys, enjoy your evening, and hopefully it doesn't snow too much later.
From the WCI Pools and Spas studio, this is 1460 KXNO Des Moines, an iHeartRadio station at KXNO.com.